Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, he wants to fix his mistake because he trusted that the king of worms, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Looking back, wrong animal to name yourself half of.
Yeah, the king of worms told me if I injected synthol into my biceps, I would look really, really good.
And welcome back to another episode of The Lore Boys. My name is James Miller, and today, who else do we have with us?
Welcome, hello, and back, Ethan. Nice to meet you. Podcast listener?
Yeah. Hello, and welcome. Peter O'Donoghue, fresh off hate crime. But you didn't catch it, so never happened.
Yeah, some might say.
Yeah. If I can, I'm definitely editing out the beginning, so they have no content.
Oh yeah, for sure the beginning is getting edited. We're starting with that. I'm surprised you brought it back to that.
Yeah.
Here we are. He didn't do a hate crime. He did a bad Steve Harvey impression off mic, and I called him out for it.
So today we're not talking about Steve Harvey. We're talking about Elder Scrolls Online.
Let's go.
So in the Elder Scrolls universe, there is a very cool main story that I think any Elder Scrolls fan would be happy to go through and enjoy. But it is gated behind level caps in an MMO, which is a tough hill to climb for a lot of people.
Not everyone's cup of tea. Yeah. Not everyone's bottle of skooma, you know?
No, exactly. Yeah, it's not everyone's hate crime before the podcast.
No.
It's
you know, that thing that gets real ready to go.
Yeah. I forgot to write in, but I think we have a couple new patrons this week.
We do, actually.
Yeah. While you pull it up in the meantime, I can kind of talk that a few of us, actually all of us, picked up ESO recently. I had played it before, but Ethan and Peter tried it out along with Steve and Bobby, some of our friends of the show. And we had a good couple weeks where I was playing a ton, Pete was playing a bit, Ethan was playing a bit, and Steve and Bobby are still playing. And if it wasn't for network issues that I was having on my end, I would still be playing as well.
I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed playing alone because everything is voice acted, which is really interesting, and it's good Elder Scrolls questing. I really enjoyed blitzing through dungeons with you guys. I guess I felt like I liked it more than I did because the moment something else came out that I wanted to play, I have not touched ESO since. I switched to the System Shock remake.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it, I would say. I mean, I knew I wouldn't. I knew I wasn't, like, I wasn't in the mood for an MMO. I didn't, like, dislike it. And, like, I, like you, Pete, I had fun times playing. But I actually really got caught up in the same as you, where I wanted to play solo and, like, experience Elder Scrolls and Tamriel and see the places and do the quests. But then I was like, I didn't want to do the quest by myself because questing alone in an MMO is really boring. So, like, doing the dialogue and, like, seeing the interactions was really cool. Then when it came down to, like, kill 10 of these beetles and use them to lure out these things on the beach, I was like, holy fuck, I don't want to do this. So it was like this contrast of, like, being really fun when we were playing together and just, like, doing dungeons and stuff. But then, like, anytime I had to, like, do stuff on my own or what I wanted to do was just, like, actually just quest in Elder Scrolls 6, and it's not that, obviously.
The main quest and the prologue quest slightly more interesting than any old quest, but there is still going to be those MMO things.
The prologue quest that we did, it is hard to do as a group because, like, we're all talking in VC, and then you've got, like, Alfred Molina as the voice actor, like, trying to talk over Bobby and Steve. It's like, okay, this is different, but the prologue quests are very cool, I found.
Was that Doc Ock, Alfred Molina?
Yeah,
there you go.
There's a lot of conflicting stuff too. Like, so one thing that the game does well, if you want to play with friends, is everybody feels like they're the same power level until they get to, like, prestige 180, where you start to, like, get stronger than the game, and that's where the content gets a lot harder too. But so that could be a positive, because Ethan, who played once, and me, who've been playing all week, we could hop into a dungeon together.
We were
that's
able
cool.
to play
yeah.
together.
Yeah.
Which great. It's cool, but at the same time, it feels like your gear doesn't do shit.
Yeah,
until
nothing matters, because it's just going to put you at the level that you need to be to beat everything. And I would say beat everything too easily, but then also, like, I'm sure in some dungeons, like, or like with an MMO, like, you just want to, like, grind through it, so you probably don't want it to be too hard and have to be engaged all the time. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's a tough balance to strike, for sure. And I think the reason that they do that now is because, like, obviously it's been out for years and years and years, and, like, there's a ton of endgame content. So, like, a lot of how they made World of Warcraft easier to level up to max level, because they know that that's where people want to be and don't really care about the interim. I was always like, well, I do care about the interim, you know? Yeah.
That's why
I want to experience the world, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. And again, like, it kind of goes against each other, because an MMO is meant to be played together, but then all the story quests are solo dungeons.
Yeah.
A lot of the quests have times where you should be listening if you care about the lore. And if you're with a friend that listens faster or slower than you, then you're always waiting on each other.
Yeah.
And
they're talking. They don't care at all, and they're just, like, talking to you, and you're trying to hear the dialogue. And
there's a lot of, I feel like, conflicting interests going on in the game that kind of make for not the best experience. But if you want to play with your friends at any time, you can do that easily. And if you want to just experience some quests, there is quest overload too. We all talked about this in outside the cast. If you just accept every quest that comes towards you, your quest log will become full, and you'll have so many objectives that everything's confusing. So you almost have to just pick a quest, ignore fucking everything else, and just follow that quest till completion, and then choose your next quest, finish that. And it's not super well designed, because
counterintuitive to MMOs, right? Like, MMOs is always like, grab all the quests, and then you, like, look at your map, you're like, okay, how do I, like, maximize my routing here to, like, get them all done? Which I always really enjoyed with World of Warcraft. We've talked about it before, how, like,
there'll be a quest hub in town, and there is a logical way to follow it, so you end up back at town with all your turn-ins and
like, before so, like, they have, like, there was a mod for World of Warcraft for a long time called Quest Helper, which just, like, it's waypoints to show you where to go. Before, or when that was still a mod that you had to, like, download, like, the base game didn't do that for you. And I used to, like, write guides for, like, the early levels on, like, how to optimize your leveling or whatever, because I really enjoyed that, like, routing aspect of, like, figuring out, oh, what's actually the best way to get all these done in order, you know?
They have one now called Rested XP in the classic community, but it's you have to pay for it. So you pay for it, but it's this thing that pops up in the middle of your screen, and it tells you exactly what to do, and it updates on the fly depending on what class you are. If you say, no, I don't want to do this quest, or you accidentally skipped a quest, it'll, like your GPS recalculating most optimal route, tell you the next place to go. And it's very good, Rested XP, but you have to pay for it, so a lot of people are pirating it. Anyways, all to say, people try and finish stuff very fast, and I'd say if you want to finish stuff fast in this game, get to max level, if you care like me about that stuff, don't care about your gear, just look. If your main stat's Magicka, look for Magicka up, and then put that on. If it's a Magicka down, ignore it. Same thing for stamina or whatever. And then just go fast until you get to CP 180. That's when the gear stops scaling. Then you start caring about collecting your stats and all the rest of it.
Yeah, but cool.
Anyways, that's...
You want some patrons?
That's min-max culture.
We've got three great names today, and then one that just overshadows all the others. So we've got Abnormal Sky Burrito, great name.
Great.
We've got Fantailed Tomb, and we've got Justin Almeida, great names all.
Right.
And then we've got Pledged By, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them. Like, just chef's kiss, great name.
That's a name.
For your Patreon account.
That's a lot of name.
Friend. But yeah, thanks so much, everyone, for supporting the show. If you want to become a patron on Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys.
You paid for ESO already at this point, because we got it for $7.
Yeah, and that led to this episode, so I hope you like it.
I bought it full price back in 2016 or whatever the fuck.
That'll teach you.
And played 30 minutes. All right. So we're going to get into the lore of ESO. The way that the lore is delivered to you in the main quest that I'm going to be covering is they had it capped. So you start off, you're on a main quest, then you get through the prologue kind of thing, and then you're in the game, and you have to go back to the Harbridge to meet the Prophet every X levels. So it's like at level 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50.
Okay.
50 is the max. I don't know if that's the exact breaking up of it, but it's something like that. And I do think that they even removed some of those level caps, because I was able to get to all but the last mission this last playthrough before, like way before level 50. So I think they might have removed the cap, but it definitely used to be the cap way.
I don't know what it is, but I did have the moment where I spoke to the Prophet, who's the main quest giver.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, cool, you did that mission. Good job. Leave. Come talk to me later. And I left his cave, and as soon as the loading screen finished, it was
triggered.
Just like, the Prophet wants to see you. I was like, all right.
Yeah, the same thing is happening to me too. But anyways, all of this is stuck to that. And then the very last quest, you have to clear basically all the main story quests in Cold Harbor, which is more like Ball's Realm of Oblivion.
Okay.
And then once you finish like the story in Cold Harbor, then you can go fight Moleg Ball with the Fighter and Mage's Guild, and then eventually go back and fight with your companions. But we're going to get to all that.
Cool.
What we start off with is in the second era, in time-wise, 583 of the second era. It's actually both 582 and 583, depending on the part of the story. So we're currently in 583, but some of the DLCs were like 582, or some of the main game is 582, and some of the DLCs are 583.
Okay, cool.
So
that's how the DLCs work in Skyrim too. It's like 4E201 is when Dawnguard happens.
Right. So yeah, time passed in this game because time has passed in real life, and they put out a lot of content since, I guess. Right. But,
yeah, the beginning of the fourth era is, or like, yeah, the end of Oblivion is the end of the third era, I think, right?
Yeah, and then it's like 4E1 would be the year after that, which is when I think the Shivering Isles happens.
Nice. I was hoping you guys knew that, and I'm glad you did.
Oh, we know. We know our Elder Scrolls, dude. Don't you fucking worry.
Yeah. That was a nice thing about writing today. I wrote in about an hour right before the show, and I had been listening to the lore all yesterday, so it was in my brain. I just had to vomit it out. And I'm like, oh, should I look up the details of this? Nah, I think the good boys will know it. So that's fine. Yeah. Our story starts 5 years before the beginning of the game, which is 583 or 582. And we know this because of some of the lore. The first emperor that would be on the throne in Cyrodiil for our time, which is 5 years before the game, is Emperor Leovic. If you are a gamer like me who did a lot of dungeon grinding to get to max, you might remember in the Imperial Sewers in the Abyssal Depths, there is a boss named Emperor Leovic that turns into a giant flesh Atronarch at the end when you're fighting.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's where he ends up. He ends up in the sewers turning into a flesh monster. But for now, he is the emperor and sitting on the throne and everything's cool. He's sitting in Cyrodiil. But he started, he said legalize it to Daedra worship.
Right.
And someone named Varin Aquilaros, he's like, not cool with that. So Varin, who we're going to talk a lot about his story. So if you are looking it up, try not to get too far ahead of us.
Yeah.
But he led a war party and he took the throne from Leovic. So Leovic, I think I have my first picture there is of Leovic and the second picture is of Varin.
Wait, where are the pictures? I just see a bunch of videos of toad sounds.
I told you this, Ethan. Not to spam all the toad sounds because you're going to bury the pictures. You know, the one that got me out of that list of toad sounds, you have like 10 hours of toad sounds. I like the 10 hours of silence interrupted by toad sounds.
Yeah, 1 hour of silence occasionally broken by random toad sounds. So that's toad from Mario, not toad the animal.
Yeah. And there's a Slowed, I think, is a Skyrim monster. It's like a slug man.
Yeah, the Slowed's a big toad. He's a big frog guy. Yeah.
Oh, he's a frog guy.
Okay. Yeah.
I beat one of him in the Somerset DLC. They sick the Slowed's on Somerset, and then you have to beat it, and you find out it's Clavicus Vile just being himself.
We talked about him one of the episodes. I think the Hammerfall episode about the Sloats and the various beast races. And I said maybe I would do an episode entirely dedicated to those someday, but I haven't done it yet.
That'd be very cool.
So this is Leovic is the dead guy on the throne. Is that what you're saying? Throne of Bones?
Right now he looks dead there because that's where you meet him in the dungeon where he turns into a flesh beast.
Oh, but he just covered himself in charcoal and decided to take a nap sitting up.
in the sewers. But I guess he's already dead and about to turn into a beast. But right now, as we know him, imagine him with shiny armor sitting on the throne because he's the king of the whole business right now.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Imagine still him like less slumped over in that throne. It's like sitting upright properly, right?
And
like
yeah.
maybe like less sallow.
Still skulls for handrest.
Yes. Yeah. Or imagine think the living man throne. It's like got skin on it. It looks normal. It turns into a bone throne as he dies.
Yeah. Thanks to Imperial Knowledge on YouTube, by the way, it helped a lot with my studying for this. And some of the pictures I borrowed from the video as well, which as well the next one is what Tamriel looks like what Cyrodiil is lording over is not all of Tamriel. It's kind of three sections that are much smaller than
It's the Oblivion map, and then there's like a little section up top which reaches up towards like through Skyrim towards the Daggerfall zone.
So that's what the kingdom looks like right now. Varen, he comes over, he's like, stop it with the Daedra worship, don't legalize it. That stuff sucks, man. So he led a war party through Cyrodiil and he takes the throne from Leovic. So Leovic goes to the sewers and he becomes the bone man that we get to know.
To be fair. Yeah, and then he becomes a skeleton at some point. We're not clear when. To be fair, it's funny how it's like, oh yeah, legalize it, man. It's like weed is basically harmless, whereas like demons in Oblivion are just like, no, they can like totally fuck with the world, dude. Yeah. This isn't like legalizing hotboxing your like friend's mom's shower. It's just because it's not going to summon actual demons to cause chaos, right?
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's what the news wants you to think, anyways.
Fair enough.
I agree. Weed is bad and scary and will make demons appear.
I need to stop watching the mainstream Cyrodiil media.
More like the lamestream Cyrodiil media.
Once cannabis gets its dark anchors under your skin, then it's all over. You'll be in Oblivion in no time.
The dank harbor is trying to pull in all our snack foods through like Oblivion portals.
So yeah, Emperor Leovic, 5 years before the start of ESO, he takes over Cyrodiil. He fights his way through because they are trying to legalize demons. Yeah. when Varen held the throne, that's what Skyrim, or not what Skyrim, what Tamriel looked like. What Cyrodiil held is just a few pillars. It's probably like less than half of the whole kingdom. Because the only time the whole kingdom had been united is when there's a dragonborn on the throne. The last time this had happened was 400 years earlier.
Okay.
And when you say the whole kingdom, you're saying like the whole continent of Tamriel.
The whole continent, except for I think on the right side, there's one continent that wasn't. I think.
Well, there's a second continent somewhere in the ocean on the planet, but I don't remember what it's called.
Or one province that wasn't. I don't know
part
the exact.
Morrowind, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's Morrowind, actually. Yeah. So, anyways, but the last time when it was almost fully held was 400 years previous by a dragonborn. And a dragonborn is supposed to be the king, blessed by Akatosh using the amulet of kings. Let me get into it. Because it's like a part of the magic, right? So Akatosh gave the Amulet of Kings. Do you remember who Akatosh is?
Yeah, he's like one of the prime. He's like an ascended guy. Oh no, Tiber Septim is that guy.
No. Akatosh is like the first dragon.
The primary god. He's a god of time. I know that.
Time is in there as well.
He's the high god of the nine divines. He's the top dog.
Big god. Yeah. Like Iluvatar.
I think he's, is he an aspect of Anu? maybe. And then Padme is Sithis, I think, is how it shakes out. I'm not sure.
We did the creation myth a long time ago. Also say Akinosh is like...
He and Ariel. It's not Anu, it's Ariel.
Right.
Okay. Ariel, there's before the ages of man, this in fiction research tome suggests that he and Ariel are the same being, but further confirms that after his formation, time began.
Right. So he keeps the time marching along. Akatosh also was the one who gave the Amulet of Kings, which if you played the game, that is kind of the thing you're chasing from the first main quest to... like the second last main quest is like Amulet of Kings, Amulet of Kings. What is this Amulet of Kings?
It's also the plot of Oblivion.
Yeah. Exactly. That's Oblivion. Exactly. You escape the dungeon and you have to go find Joffrey, who has the Amulet of Kings. And then he's like, boy, egads, I lost it. Zoinks.
And then he never gets to Martin Septim, who's like the actual legitimate heir, voiced by Sean Bean, who transforms into an aspect of Akatosh at the end, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Turns into a big statue as well.
So what the Amulet Kings allows someone to do, specifically a Dragonborn, would be able to light the braziers in the Temple of One.
The braziers?
Yeah.
Braziers.
Yeah. Yeah, the braziers. And along with the help of the Amulet of Kings. Just
flaming hot titties.
Yeah.
It's like, breathing Cheeto dust, the flaming hot Cheeto dust on a woman's bra.
Yeah, it's like the Amulet of Kings like undoes the latch on the back of the straps. So like only a true Dragonborn can take the bra off the big titty statue of the Imperial City.
Yep. So if those braziers are lit by the Dragonborn, then it enables protection of the realm. Like an invisible cellophane goes over all of Tamriel and they're safe from Daedric influence.
The Daedra can't invade.
A big bra gets put on the continent, you could say, to keep it safe.
If you will, yeah. Keep everything orderly.
Or would it be a bra on the Plains of Oblivion to keep them out?
It catches all the anchors.
Yeah. It's the underwire poking through.
Yeah, so like I said, the Dragonborn, we need a Dragonborn, we need the Amulet of Kings, and that makes everything safe. Magic rock on a necklace, take a drink, I guess. But Varen, who just took over the throne, like he was all against the Daedric worship, but he's not a Dragonborn. Neither was the previous guy, Leoric. But he had to do his best. So he marries Abner Tharn's daughter, Clivia Tharn. And she is the queen for pretty much all of Elder Scrolls Online while we're playing. Abner is like a huge political force. He's the head of the Elder Council. So this is like a really good idea for Varen to marry his daughter, because then he'll have influence over the Elder Council, which means meetings will go a whole lot easier as king, I guess.
Eventually,
people disagree with you.
The
Empress's descendant eventually becomes like the primary villain of the first Elder Scrolls game, Jagger Tharn.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's like the first main bad guy. It's either in Daggerfall or in Arena, the first one. But yeah, the Tharns are a very important family in the lore.
So overall, his rule is really shaky, Varen. Even though he has the Elder Council on his side, he is liked by his people. There's 2/3 of Cyrodiil fighting forces that are all still going to disagree. We have the Ebonheart Pact, all the Mary Dominion and Daggerfall Covenant. So to make one happy is to make the other two mad. And it's a real hard time to be a good king.
Yeah. I mean, who knew there was so much politics after you dethroned the previous emperor, right?
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. A conqueror king too. So like, it's not like he was born into this. He killed the last guy and took his job. So,
but if he's not a Dragonborn and can't light the beacons, he can't undo the braziers, or the braziers. is he using like the Cyrodiilic lamestream media to lie to people about like incursions of Oblivion? Because he can't keep them out.
No, well, they haven't fully invaded yet, actually. So this is still five years before the game. At this point, Molag Bal is not trying to get in.
Okay.
And right now we need a dragonborn, or that's what Varian thinks. He's like, you know what, this will never last. I really need to find a dragonborn or become a dragonborn.
Easy. And
so the Amulet of Kings have been lost for hundreds of years, and there hadn't been a dragonborn in about as much time. So Varian gets the crew together. It's like, we got to figure this out, you know, for the better for the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these will be eventually known as the Five Companions. Which,
okay, right.
Is there five classes in the base game?
There wasn't when it came out. There's five. There's six now that Necrom came out, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't. It isn't the five. There's no parallel there.
Okay, yeah. Maybe that's the canonical classes. It's like, no. Yeah, there was the Dragon Knight who served him, and the Sorcerer who served him, and the. Yeah.
In reality, it would be like two Dragon Knights, two Sorcerers, and an Emperor.
Emperor class. It's gonna wait for that one to drop.
Yeah. Yeah. So the five they get together. They're going to figure out the better of the kingdom is Emperor Varian Akhalaros, Lyris Titanborn, Abner Tharn, Sai Sahan, and Manamarca. And the Manamarca is a good guy at this point. Who's played these games knows Manamarca as the King of Worms, but this is way back before Oblivion, and he is okay guy at this point, or at least we think.
Bad guy, just unrevealed bad guy, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, yeah, but if I'm the reader and I'm just at this point in time, he's cool guy right now.
Exactly. Yeah. If Manamarca was going to go buy a gun and get a background check,
yeah,
he is clear. At this point. There are no red flags, right?
Yes, exactly. Okay, exactly. So Emperor, we've met a little bit. He doesn't like the Daedra, and he's a war conqueror. We have Lyris Titanborn, who's half giant. She is awesome. You get to play with her a lot. She's like a Nord half giant. And she is the protector of Varian. She's like her knight's hand or the sword of the king or whatever they call it in this world.
Sure. The primary guardian.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
She drives her to school.
Abner Tharn is a very powerful magic user. Also a very powerful political guy. His daughter is the queen.
Queen, yeah, exactly.
He is very unlikable. He's a dick to you, but he is true to his word, and he has morals, and he is a good guy.
Okay.
Deep down, I feel arrogant. Like. Arrogant, he'll talk down to you. If you didn't know something, he would scoff at you. He wouldn't explain it to you. He does bad things, but I feel that he is a good person at heart.
Okay.
Sai Sahan, he's from the Red Guard. He is just like the warrior type. You meet him at a certain point after he's been tortured for like 2 years by Molag Bal, and you find out that this torture that they do is like how he's failed his people in past missions and stuff, and that's how to torture him is not to hurt him because he's so fucking tough, it's to remind him of his failure to his people.
Right, yeah, it's the scars, it's they give him the scars on the inside, the ones that never truly heal.
Yes, exactly. And then Manamarca, who's a mysterious magician, who is a really cool guy, and he must be really great.
Also, no red flags on that guy?
No red flags on him. So, the five companions put their heads together. And who has an idea but Manamarca? Manamarca came up with a really cool idea. He knew of a secret ritual that only he knew about that would allow the Amulet of Kings to turn Varian into a dragonborn.
Okay.
Cool.
So, easy peasy.
Sounds promising.
Yeah, you get the necklace, you get the infinite peace glitch, and you get out of here. It's easy, yeah.
And you can absorb dragon souls should you want to, which is also very cool.
Yeah, very cool.
You gotta put a bucket on Akatosh's head, and then you slip the Amulet of Kings off.
Yeah, you could, and then you could steal his soul right out of his body too. Then he's just like a skeleton with a bucket on it. It completely burns away.
So they have to find the Amulet of Kings at this point. And there, no one knows where it is, and it takes 2 in-game years for the five companions to find the Amulet of Kings. They don't specify exactly where it was found, but just that it was a big deal to get a hold of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So they bring it home, they set up the ritual all to Manamarco's specifications, and who would have guessed Manamarca was lying?
Yeah.
Didn't
oh, no.
Sorry, Manny.
How much pig's blood did you say we needed? Because like 15 gallons feels like a lot for a ritual like this. Yeah. No? Like,
and we had to take the pigs from the farmers against their will too.
Yeah.
Stolen pig's blood.
Just a little weird. Yeah. What are these black crystals for? What are these black crystals for again? That's so strange. I don't know. It's just like, hey, dude, you did the research. You're the magic guy. You know this stuff. Honestly, me, I'm like, I'm fucking hopeless with this stuff. Honestly, just like it just seems a little weird. I just like, you know, it's strange. You know, like, yeah.
Yeah,
the human finger bones we showed up with—they go in this star pattern with the circle around it.
Yeah, okay. We pin the lamb to the door outside the room, like just like, up there. Okay, so strange. Yeah.
We'll make a little Blair Witch like dream catcher things, asking questions. Yeah.
So it didn't turn anyone into a dragonborn when they did the ritual. It tore open the barriers between Nirn and Oblivion, and it turns out that Mana Marco is working with the Daedric Prince of Schemes. Molag Bal. So Molag Bal, you meet in Skyrim in an abandoned house. You go down and you have to like kill a guy just to get his
mace. Yeah,
and the mace recharges soul stones.
I think it charges stamina.
Soul stones. I played yesterday.
Okay. It's got soul capture on it for the what was I gonna say? Yeah, that's a great quest in Skyrim, by the way. If for some reason you're gonna play the game for the first time, the haunted house in
House of Horrors is the name of the quest.
It's a really good little contained horror mission in an otherwise like not scary at all game. I remember it creeped me out when I played it.
Yeah, and you get to leave with a Daedric artifact, which is always fun in Skyrim. So
And
the second or third time I did that quest, soft locked the game because like the person that you're supposed to kill just like clipped out of world. I was like, and you can't leave until you kill them. So, which is, I mean, classic Skyrim, right? Classic.
Yeah. So this opens up the door for Molag Bal. Molag Bal has a whole plan where he's going to send dark anchors, which are basically like these big old claws that come down from the sky into Tamriel, and they click into basically USB dongles, and they pull they pull the whole world basically towards Oblivion. This is made real in the game via world events. So you hear like this, like this almost war thing, and you look, and if you hear that noise, that means you're close enough that to see one of these things coming down from the sky, and you run over, and if you're near a town, there'll be 1,800 people, and everything will die in a second. But or if you're questing the place where no one is, you'll be there by yourself, and it will be a struggle to get it down by yourself. But you do get to fight off these hooks that Molag Bal is putting into the world.
It's a very cool visual. I saw it. I've seen it happen, I think, once in the amount of time I've played in the game. It's really neat to be around. But yeah, Molag Bal doesn't stand a fucking chance with this kind of player base because his invading Daedra get evaporated. Like, it's like the entire event takes a minute.
The one like that's close to town, you can hear it from town too. So it's like everybody just hops on their horse and runs over And Molag Bal's always like, this isn't a victory. This is just delaying the inevitable. Fuck you, humans.
But I will safely disconnect my USBs from your realm.
So that's kind of what you're fighting off. And Mana Marco opened up the sky to all of this, being his bastard self. So this ritual also called something called the Soul Burst, which I believe is the next image.
This image with the spoiler tag up looks like you're going to show us a picture of the Google Chrome logo. It's green in the center, and then it's like red, yellow, and blue around the outside.
Yeah, it does, actually. Maybe that's another map that I forgot to show you. But
It is another map. It shows the regions. It's the Ebonheart Pact, the Aldmeri Dominion, and the Daggerfall Covenant. And then it shows how Cyrodiil is the PvP zone.
I expected more questions for the packs. That's why I had that one.
Well,
in the
sorry.
No, it's okay. I just had to be ready.
Only question, and this, like, I was the last one to start playing ESO with you guys. My only question about the packs is, why the fuck did we go with Aldmeri Dominion? That would have been my last pick.
I always go Ebonheart whenever I'm on my own.
I would have gone Daggerfall, I think, if I chose, but I would have been fine with Ebonheart.
Because Bobby has the most experience with the game and told us to. That's why.
And then in the end, he had to buy a transfer because he wasn't the one he told us. Yeah. Yeah.
So funny.
I went Ebonheart my first time. I played an Argonian Templar and just full heal build, and you instant queue everything, and everyone always needs a healer. So that was a very fast way to level up, actually.
Yeah.
The next one we're looking for, which is the next image we're looking for, right?
Yeah, not which it's called
a purple explosion
burst.
in the Citadel there.
Exactly.
Imperial the Imperial City. Yeah. The white gold tower.
In the Imperial City, that was an explosion. This happened when Manamarco did the thing where he allowed, when he opened the door for Molag Bal.
Gotcha.
It caused the soul burst. It's a huge explosion within the city that caused mages to go mad for weeks. There was people on the other side of the world that, like, their stomach kind of turned if they had any magical abilities, because they're like, oh, something happened there. I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah. There's, like, small earthquakes and volcanic eruptions that went off. This just put the whole world from a safe place into complete unrest, and Daedric are allowed in now. So,
okay, yeah.
So what happened to the five? They were there, but they scattered after this event. Sai Sahan grabbed the Amulet of Kings, and he ran away. So he's a pretty noble dude, pretty tough dude. So he grabs that and he gets away because he knows that's... We need to get the Amulet of Kings away because this is our only chance. Lyris Titanborn gets sent to Cold Harbor to become a slave over there.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Because in the beginning of the game, she's the one who lets you out of your cage and stuff. But we'll get to why that happens. And Cold Harbor, again, is Molag Bal's Plane of Oblivion.
Molag's Balls.
Molag's Balls, yeah. Boy's nuts. I almost wrote in Molag Cock and Ball Torture later, but I thought better against it.
Thank you for refraining.
Yeah.
I appreciate your service.
One of my only complaints visually about the game, because it does look really good for an MMO, is the fact that Cold Harbor is supposed to be an exact replica of Cyrodiil, but like with ankle deep, like kind of like tepid sludge everywhere. It's supposed to be like a copy, but gross. Whereas in ESO, it's just like kind of standard spooky demon realm. Like there's like horns coming out of the walls and shit.
If you
like
continue the quest, you might like it because at a certain point, you do get to break through with the Fighters Guild and you have to clear out a city in Cold Harbor that becomes your bastion within Cold Harbor. And you have a town.
Cool. Okay.
In Cold Harbor that you're based out of.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've only got 30 hours in the game, and most of it was multiplayer with you guys, so I'm not that far in the story. That's a cool plot point. Again, good writing. Yep. Worth the money you pay for it, man. Get it on sale if you're listening.
Yep. So, so we have Sai Sahan. He fucks up with the Amulet of Kings. Lyris goes to Cold Harbor. Abner Tharn, being the kind of arrogant opportunist that he is, he sides with Manamarco to keep his daughter safe and on the throne.
Oh, okay,
so,
yeah.
So he's like, Manamarco, no, so you don't need...
Jamie, like, a good guy at heart, this guy. That's who we're talking about?
If a demon was going to kill your daughter, would you side with a demon temporarily to save your daughter?
You have a daughter. Think about it.
If I had taken an oath to be some sort
of... I wouldn't think you're a bad guy if you went to save your daughter, is all I'm saying.
I mean, I guess just like if we're looking at him through the lens of history, not on a personal level, I think he's a bad guy for selling out the realm, right?
Yeah, he ends up like helping you, the Vestige, the player, later on to basically take it back from Manamarco. Okay. But at the time, right now, I can see how he on the surface looks like a bad guy, but I can see why you'd want to save your daughter and stuff.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. It ends up really not helping his daughter, by the way.
I'm sure it doesn't. Yeah. We don't negotiate with demons.
Years. Yeah. Okay. So, Manamarco actually ends up banning the Mages Guild from the city and blames the soul burst on them, just even though it was him. But they didn't
okay,
want.
Yeah.
You didn't want the smart ones poking around too much near the throne, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's classic, like, fascist demon, or like fascist mastermind serving the Lord of Demons gaslighting, right? Like, that's what the lamestream Cyrodiil media would be pushing. That's the narrative that they would be pushing, right?
Well, yeah, it's just like, I did this thing. Reading is now illegal. And like, no one can ever investigate, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I did a terrorism. Now you're not allowed to learn.
So the current setup is we got Clivia Tharn on the throne, and Manimarco and Abner whispering into both of her ears behind the scenes and kind of making things happen. So
everything I've decided to do and side with the villain is bad for you. Don't listen to him.
So Manimarco bans the Mages Guild, like I said, blames the Soulburst, blames the 9/11 magic 9/11 on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Which allows them to like go into war or whatever else. But also, like, he also gets the Queen into Daedric worship. It's like, oh no, but just like read this pamphlet. It's really cool.
Oh, she's a hippie chick. Okay, I see. Walking around the White Gold Tower barefoot and shit. Yeah.
Oh, hey, Clivia, how's it going? Oh, yeah, I was just doing some reading up on, like, one of my favorite authors. This guy, like, Dr. Peterson. He wrote some really interesting stuff about these guys. They're called, like, Daedric Lords. Kind of cool. I don't know. 12 simple rules for...
What was worship.
Yeah. 12 simple rules for the life. Mage. 12 simple rules for... gaslighting the population.
Yeah.
Possible rules for serving the master of schemes.
These Daedric got some good idea. Every Daedric gets a wife.
Hey, look, I'm not saying like all his ideas are great, but like some of this stuff, like, hey, clean your plane of oblivion, you know, that's just good advice.
Imperially mandated monogamy. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. No one's driving vans into crowds in Oblivion. Just saying.
Jesus Christ.
Manimarco, being himself, he's scheming. He's the future king of worms. He separates Clivia from Abner. So he starts whispering things into her ear, like, your father doesn't have what's best in mind for you. He doesn't even want you to marry a Daedra.
That's actually
he doesn't think you should have a sexy incubus consort, okay? Like, that's him and not me. I'm your friend, Clivia. Come on, like, we go way back.
And eventually Manimarco also starts to drive in between all of Abner's political relationships. So
he
basically makes Abner, who had his daughter on the throne, in charge of the Elder Council, basically lose his daughter and lose all of his influence within Tamriel.
I've got this compound out in Blackmarsh. There's no plumbing yet, but like, I get to fuck everybody's wife and you should join me. It'd be great. Come on. Yeah.
You'd be such a hit there, Clivia, honestly.
Honestly, at the compound.
Yeah. So this whole thing, Abner, his fuck up kind of set up PvP in ESO. Because when he sided with Manimarco, Clivia went mad and started sending invasions into neighboring provinces, like almost without sense. Like, she would just charge in. And this causes the Three Banners War, which is the canon reason for ESO PvP, especially in Cyrodiil, where you have the Three Banners all fighting for Cyrodiil in the middle.
Okay.
Which I think Clivia, by the time that you meet her in game, she's like crazy queen and no one actually supports her at this point, which is why there are the Three Banners and they're all fighting for the middle, which would give them
let them take control from her.
Yeah,
exactly. So canonically, that's why you have to save up all your points to buy catapults to take points in Cyrodiil. All that stuff. But
Clivia Tharn keeps like falling over on flat surfaces and Manimarco's like, no, she's fine. Just don't believe your lying eyes.
So actually we'll come back with some lore on a mystery prophet man after the break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
A mysterious old man awoke near the Moth Priest's temple.
What? Where am I? What are all these bugs doing here? What is that scroll? Why are all these blind people around?
I was going to ask you guys, do you remember who the Moth Priests are?
They're the only ones who can read the Elder Scrolls.
The Elder Scrolls, yeah. They're the only guys who can read the Elder Scrolls, online.
The only people who can read the EULA.
Yeah. They're blind.
Yeah, so
prophecy is foretold of a hero who could agree to the terms.
Thou shalt not name your character Gay Agenda.
No kidding.
All right. So yeah, these Moth Priests took this old raggedy man who woke up outside their temple. They nursed him back to health. And to their surprise, the old man could not only read the Elder Scrolls, he could read them better than any normal man could. He had absolute clarity.
Right, yeah. Because there's no writing on them per se. They contain like all past, present, and futures, right? Like within them?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Well, yeah, the scrolls took his eyesight. So it's less about the writing on it, more about the magic of the scrolls, I think.
Because the Elder Scrolls are very much like a vibes thing.
Yeah, you can read it without eyes still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name? Paul Atreides, like the Golden Path, like he can see the future. And
yeah, exactly.
Like that, right?
Yeah. He was able to see that the Soul Burst was the beginning of a calamity that would come to Tamriel.
Probably didn't need to go blind for that.
No.
Looking like the magic 9/11, as we named it, and just be like, oh, this is not going to bode well for the next 30 years.
Yeah. Mana Marco's going to set up the Patriot Act, and it's only going to get worse from there.
Now, he's able to see that the Soul Burst is beginning the calamity that would come to Tamriel. And all the souls who died in the Soul Burst, they weren't able to get to their version of heaven. They were all swept up by Molag Bal and taken into Cold Harbor.
Oh, okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So now with Mana Marco doing his things, pretty much all these souls that are dying are getting swept up by Molag Bal. This is Loreboy's canon. Your character might have been hit by the Soul Burst. Oh, no, he isn't. He namely isn't. Never mind. Hold on.
Okay.
Mana Marco, I take it back.
At Loreboy's canon. That's the beautiful thing about Loreboy's canon is we can giveth and we can taketh away whenever the fuck we want.
I think I remember, I'm going to re-roll Loreboy's canon that later when I'm absolutely sure, but I think there might be something that contradicts it later.
Okay. Jamie's right hand may once again giveth. So,
so Mana Marco, he's just building his power over the Empire. He's pushed Abner out. He's gained full control over his daughter. And he wants to keep opening the way for Molag Bal to send his giant anchors into Nirn to pull it into Oblivion.
Okay.
But the prophecy also told of a soulless hero who would become the brightest of the five companions and would stop the calamity and stop Molag Bal. Guess who that might be, guys?
Is it the old man or is it you, the player?
It is you, the player.
Oh.
And you end up replacing Mana Marco in the Five Companions.
Oh, okay.
He's not in it anymore.
Yeah. I was going to say, how do you be one of the Five Companions?
Yeah. It's like replacing one of the sisters on Charmed. They don't have the power of three anymore until the Charmed MMO comes out.
Yeah. Sure. And then you're semi-charmed. Like a semi-charmed kind of life.
Like, baby. You know that song's about crystal meth?
Yeah, I think we realized that on a bonus or something one day.
semi-charmed kind of life. He like in one part, he's like, hey, crystal meth is gonna want to do.
Yeah, it's a song about crystal meth. Yeah, and being addicted to it.
Yeah. Baby, I want something else. Maybe like a little meth or something. Yeah. They do the goodbye thing like the kids in Sound of Music going up the stairs. Goodbye.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
The sky was gold. It was rose. I was taking sips of it through my nose, and I wish I could get back there, someplace back there, smiling in the pictures you would take. Doing crystal meth will lift you up until you break. Yeah. It won't stop. I won't come down. I keep stuck with a TikTok rhythm. A bump for the drop, and then I bumped up. I took the hit that I was given. Then I bumped again. Then I bumped again. I said, "How do I get back there?"
Yep. So we follow the prophecy. We stay away from the crystal meth. And
is the Amulet of Kings made of crystal meth?
I wouldn't put it past it.
It's a big crystal.
Yeah.
Makes time fly. The prophet was arrested by Manamarco. Because after a while, the prophet's like, hey, Manamarco's bad. He's with Molag Bal. Listen to me. I'm a blind man. I know what's going to come.
Hear ye. New despotic ruler, not good for the nation.
It's a completely blank scroll out in front of him because he's blind.
Yep.
Extra read all about it. Blind man in cave says ruler's bad.
Necromancer despot says it's not true.
So Manamarco, yeah, being a very powerful necromancer, he grabs a prophet and he keeps the prophet prisoner in guess where, but Cold Harbor. Cold Harbor, really, at the beginning of the game, to meet the five companions, it's like, go to Cold Harbor, free this one companion, go back to the harborage, talk to this one companion, go back to Cold Harbor, free the next companion,
and come back to Harbor. On the way out.
Exactly.
See, and this that's is the perfect example of like when I'm doing an MMO, let me free all five and then come back. Yes. And we'll bang them all out at one after another. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. And that's kind of how you get to know them. That's how they slow feed you all the characters so you're not like overwhelmed. Like, oh, there's a giant woman and a red guard man. How am I supposed to keep this all in my big dumb brain? So yeah, the dark anchors start falling from the sky, pulling her world into oblivion, known as the Plane Meld. Molag Bal also uses
the
any
plane
soul.
Meld? Wow, this is really starting to sound like Magic 9/11.
No, man, jet fuel can't meld steel beams. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Dangerous planes can't meld steel beams. But yes, it is the plane meld. Molag Bal is not only just causing the plane meld by sending the anchors down, he's using the souls that are dying on Nirn as fuel to keep fueling the plane meld, kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah. That makes so a lot of sense.
Jet fueling the plane meld.
Khajiit fuel can't meld steel.
I was going to talk about an invasion thing, but it doesn't matter.
P was going to make an actual good point, then realized my joke was too funny to continue on with his dumb, boring lore.
So game starts. You're killed by Manamarco, and your soul is sent to Molag Bal to fuel the plane meld, and your soulless body is sent to Cold Harbor. So you wake up in like a prison, and that's kind of like the beginning of the game, being saved by Lyris. But this is known as being a soul shriven, where your soul is sent to Molag Bal, and your body is sent to Cold Harbor.
I see. Okay.
So you're soulless and you're in oblivion. Another soul shriven, probably the most famous in the game. Because he still has his mind, and he's been there for fucking ever. Still has his mind, in quotes, is Cadwell. And Cadwell is voiced by who?
John Cleese. He's great,
Yeah, he's very funny. He's, like, a little bit crazy, but also very helpful. And he's, like, somehow held on to his mind more than all the other ones who have become completely silent. He's, like, wearing, like, a colander on his head and playing a lute.
Yeah, right.
He took the lean into it approach to keeping your sanity.
Yeah, he's awesome. You could probably do an entire episode on him, but if you've played the game, you'll know Cadwell. And if you are planning to play the game, you'll enjoy Cadwell. Very funny character. So Lyris comes and rescues you, the half-giant from the Five Companions, and you also free the prophet from Cold Harbor. And you escape back to Tamriel as soulless body, now known the Vestige. So you go back to the world, but without a soul.
Okay.
Yeah. You find out
I don't need one. Honestly, it's never done anything for me IRL. So like, why would my in-game character need one?
Yeah. Honestly, it sounds like a lot of responsibilities not to have one, considering that a prophet just says that you're gonna have to save the whole ass world. But
yeah, but I am very good at procrastinating. So like, he'll tell me I have to do it, and I don't know how he's gonna make me.
You guys told me I had to do an episode for where I said 1 p.m. on Sunday. And I started writing it at like 12 p.m. on Sunday.
I'm sure no one can tell. What was your alarm for at 11:30?
10, and I hit the snooze until about 11:30.
There you go.
Yeah. But anyways, I did listen to this a lot, and I played it, so we know what we're talking about here. You find out that this prophet who can read the Elder Scrolls. Do you guys know who it is already? The prophet?
No, yeah. I don't.
We've mentioned him before in this episode.
Oh, is it the original emperor?
Varen Aquilaria.
There we go.
He went missing at the soul burst.
Right.
And then he woke up as like an old ass man. He like it aged him because some crazy magic stuff.
I used to be king, you know.
Yeah. Sure you did, buddy.
The stress of politics ages them really rapidly, right?
Like, yeah. The stress
of
being like
gray hair.
You have to go in like 20 days a year, you know? It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Such a stressful job.
You don't have the whole context of him like beating the previous emperor and having then the civil unrest of a conqueror emperor and him wanting to be a dragonborn and all that stuff you find out a little bit later. But okay. the reveal that he's the former emperor, this old man that you're talking to in a cave that you just saved from oblivion.
Yeah.
You couldn't be the king. We have an upper term limit on emperors. you're not allowed to run for emperor after you turn 65. It couldn't possibly be you.
So that's a big reveal in like the second or third quest of the main story. And he wants to thwart Mandamarco's plan. He's read the Elder Scrolls, and he is the one who basically made this all happen in the first place.
He wanted to become Dragonborn. Yeah, he wants to fix his mistake because he trusted that the king of worms, for Christ's sake.
Yes.
Looking back, wrong animal to name yourself half of.
Yeah, the king of worms told me if I injected synthol into my biceps, I would look really, really good. I would look really strong, okay? So
I woke up looking 30 years older outside of a moth priest.
I can't believe the liver king of worms was a gearhead the whole time, man.
So now, like I kind of said, video games, you go back to Cold Harbor and you bring back the Red Guard, Sai Sahan, who...
Does he still have the amulet?
Does not have the amulet.
I'm so glad you ran away from the ultimate battle to protect that thing, dude.
Yeah.
So glad that was your choice and now it's just fucking gone. Yeah, great moves.
But he hid it, at least. So Mandamarco doesn't have it either.
It's under a pot at the front door.
Yeah.
He'd been tortured for 2 years by Molag Bal himself to find the location of the Amulet King. So this guy's pretty tough. He took 2 years of Daedric Prince torture and didn't give it up.
Okay.
He's cool too. He has his own storyline. If you're able to play every province in the game has a storyline, which is usually between 5 and 8 quests.
Okay,
and
cool.
He's a Red Guard, so maybe it's in the Red Guard area, but I know that there's a lot more about him that I don't know yet. And he ends up working for
dude, talking to synthol, this guy's yoked to hell.
He's big, eh?
Holy moly.
I posted him last week because you posted someone of
I do recognize this photo now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, you posted someone in Warhammer universe, and I was like, oh, it reminds me of Sai Sahan.
I think it was Jagatai Khan. Yeah,
here we go. Anyway, Sai Sahan, super cool character. You end up like helping him to kill a dragon in Skyrim at one point.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you get to do a bunch of cool shit with him.
I don't remember him in Skyrim.
Well, no, in Skyrim, not the game Skyrim, the location.
Oh, in the
Skyrim.
Province. Okay.
Yeah, in the province. Yeah. I was going to say he would have been dead for centuries at the time of Skyrim. Yeah.
In Western Skyrim, where you don't even have all the same cities, you have Riften, you have Solitude, you have.
Wait, what? That's Cyrodiil.
No, that's Skyrim. Riften?
Oh, what am I thinking of? I'm thinking of Leyoin instead of Riften.
Right.
Don't know why, but I am.
Yeah, there's only like three or four of the cities that you would encounter in Skyrim, because Skyrim's much, much later, but it's cool to see the cities like hundreds of years earlier, where you can go to the Ratway and stuff like that in Riften. Yeah. And
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. But anyways, all this cool stuff. Like, if you just want to be a tourist in Tamriel, ESO is very good for that. Just don't get overwhelmed by the million quests. Try not to. Yeah, just keep your. You got to focus on what you're doing, and then
that's it. Yeah, that was my mistake. Yeah,
yeah. Well, it's your mistake, but knowing how games normally work, it's just different. This, I guess. But,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So they get Sai Sahan back. They got Vernacularis, they've got you, they've got Lyris, and
Abner Tharn.
And Abner Tharn all together. And they find out that there's a ritual that can give a soulless body ultimate power within Oblivion if a life is sacrificed for that power, along with having control of the Amulet of Kings. So if they get the Amulet of Kings, and one of them's willing to kill themselves for you, the Vestige, you can become Super Saiyan and beat Molag Bal.
Okay, cool.
And Molag Bal could, he won't die, but he'll, like in Skyrim, he'll be injured enough that we can kick him down the timeline and we don't have to worry about him for a little while. So this is the plan now. We gotta find the Amulet of Kings, and someone's gonna have to give themselves up for you, the Vestige. So who could do it? We need Abner Tharn to be our caster for this.
Well, I can't kill myself. I'm too important for the plan.
That's exactly his reasoning. And he has to do all the magic side of things. But he's like, but Sai Sahan, Varen, and Lyris, one of you must... You could kill yourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to do the ritual from the outside. It's like, could you just show someone else how to do it? No. No, I can't.
One of you will have to kill yourselves. The rest will have to get some pig's blood. A lot of pig's blood.
Right. So, video games happens. You find the Amulet of Kings. You go end up. Sai Sahan tells you where it's hidden, and he even doesn't fully remember because he's been tortured mentally for 2 years straight. So you have to do some clues. You eventually find it. Video games happen. Not a lot of lore points there. But Mana Marco ends up following you and using you as like just being like, oh yeah, well lead me right to it then. And he goes and he steals the Amulet of Kings and he tries to usurp Molag Bal. So he's going for the boss's chair. Yeah.
We
talked about this, and this is where I would use the Molag cock and ball torture Mana Marco you get to see in game that Mana Marco gets caught out and he's made an example of because he's just tortured for centuries. This is what happens when you try and take the boss's chair kind of thing.
This always happens with the Diedrich Princes. It's the same plot in the Hermaeus Mora expansion in Skyrim. First dragonborn Mirak like is gonna betray him, and then he gets stabbed in the back and killed by Hermaeus Mora, who's like, don't you think I'm like the Diedrich Prince of knowledge? He's like, I didn't know you were doing this.
Like, can just appear anywhere with a bunch of eyes and tentacles. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So we end up fighting back against Mana Marco and somehow getting the Amulet of Kings back. I don't remember the exact detail there, but anyways, you end up with the Amulet of Kings. Mana Marco ends up being tortured for centuries.
Can they not kill him instead of having someone sacrifice themselves?
Maybe, but that's not how it plays out. I guess Molag Bal gets him back within his realm for torture, and you can't steal him back or something. But
yeah, okay.
For some reason, unexplained, it has to be one of those three, and it's your choice as a gamer to choose one of those three when you fight Molag Bal in the end.
Who did you choose?
I didn't. I didn't finish it this time.
Okay.
But I'll tell you why it should be Varen later. So we have to right now we have the Amulet of Kings, we have the idea, but we're still overwhelmed by all these demons and stuff. We can't just waltz into Cold Harbor and make it happen. So we need some support. So we go to the Mages Guild and the Fighters Guild. We get them on our side because video games, you have to do that. But then the Alliance is split into three banners. So politically, the Mages Guild and Fighters Guild can't appear to be helping one of the banners, or else the other two banners are turned against them.
Oh, okay.
So now you have to get all three banners to agree to let the Mages Guild or Fighters Guild help you.
I'm just going to borrow them. I know they did 9/11. I just need to borrow them.
Look, it's my weekend with the Mages Guild, okay? No, you can't take them to Cold Harbor.
So
I don't care if you already bought the tickets, okay? Yeah. No, you can't take them to Cold Harbor. They're staying with me this weekend.
Whose voice is that behind you? Is that the Fighters Guild? Is the Fighters Guild in here?
Put them on the phone. Put them on the phone.
Extra context, too. Like, the five companions, nobody knows Varen's alive because he's hidden as the prophet. And he doesn't look anything like himself. And the general public think or have their own ideas on whether one of the four companions killed him. Not that he ran away during the soul burst. Some people think that Manimarco killed him. Some people think Lyris, his own guard, killed him. Some people think Sai Sahan killed him. So all these people don't have a lot of favor. But it's your job as the Vestige to kind of bring you get all three faction leaders together on an island. And this is a main quest.
Throw a knife into the middle of them.
Basically, there's like a strong Nord, and then there's like another guy who's like more tactful, and like another guy who's just complaining all the time. And to get these three people to agree, it's impossible. So you start trying to talk. They all go to their separate camps, one in the north, one in the east and the west. And then Moleg Bal decides to open up a bunch of portals and attack because all of the world's leaders are in the exact same place. Sure,
yeah. Okay, of course, yeah.
Yeah. But you, as the player, go to each individual camp, fight back a giant monster, and then close their portals. And then you can say, well, see, told ya, Moleg Bal's a real big issue. We gotta fucking fix this, guys. And they say, well, we won't give you our forces, but we'll let you take the Fighter's Guild. So,
all right.
So we get permission to take the Fighter's Guild. And I think the Mages Guild as well for some to help with some of the casting. And you have everyone you need. Then there's like another person who you've met throughout the game who reveals to be not a servant, but the god known as Meridia.
Oh, cool.
And she says she's going to help too. And she's going to come take the fight to Moleg Bal's realm. So you have to go into Moleg Bal's realm.
You said the god. I did look this up. One of the Daedric princes, Meridia. She's another Daedric prince.
Yeah,
she's
but she's like
undead one.
Yes, she hates undead.
Of she's life and lady of infinite energies.
She's tend to be known as one of the sort of good ones, like Boethia.
Yeah,
right.
But, is still a Daedric prince, but she is against Moleg Bal. Boethia and Meridia both don't like Moleg Bal, and Moleg Bal doesn't like them.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just thinking back when I went to Somerset. You get to see the. What's the one of spiders? Like Mephala or something?
No, it's Vermina.
Vermina? The
spider one, I think, yeah.
Clavicus Vile and Meridia are all there, and they all have their own interests, and you kind of have to play them off each other to get what you want in the end.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. Every story quest that I've done in ESO has been like good enough to be in just an Elder Scrolls game.
It is
Mephala. Mephala is the spider one.
Oh, okay.
Vermina is of nightmares, so I guess if you're scared of spiders, then...
Okay. Right, okay. Because I thought she had, like, the realm of... Well, I mean, I was wrong on the name, but the realm of spider webs is, like, her plane of oblivion, right?
And, like, Vermina, very close to Vermin. So.
Yeah. Anyways, that's just an aside, but there's cool shit that you get to do. But this is another one where you have a god on your side, or a Daedric prince on your side, against another Daedric prince. And Meridia, her whole thing is she just protects you from Moleg Bal's onslaught while you're working your way towards Moleg Bal himself.
Okay, cool.
You fight back his armies and form a stronghold in Cold Harbor. This is kind of what I talked about, where you get your own town. And then to get the last fight, which is to defeat Moleg Bal and get your soul back, first you have to do all the quests within Cold Harbor.
Oh, cool. So,
you fight on Moleg Bal's front, kind of liberate things through story missions, and then take the fight to him. And in the final fight, you get to choose to sacrifice Lyris or Lyris, Sai Sahan, or Varen. And I said earlier, Varen is the only canon choice because the only NPC to disappear afterwards.
So, interesting. Okay.
If you kill Sai Sahan, he will still be in Western Skyrim waiting for you to join him. If you kill Lyris, same thing. But Varen, he is the canon choice. I think it makes story like symmetry
redeems
sense
him
too,
right? It's his fault that that Cold Harbor was pushing through in the first place.
He opened the door, so it's good that he closed the door by killing himself and giving his soul energy. And not only do you beat Molag Bal, you get your own soul back too. So soul back into body. Imagine he goes in, what have I done? Like you just start remembering.
Where am I?
You get like rapidly aged. You're an old man now.
Yeah. It's cold. What are all those boats?
I thought that it would be like, no, we have the true emperor. He's right here. And you point at an old man who looks nothing like the man they recognize. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's just like a hobo that you picked up off the street.
Altogether, I've had fun with ESO. And I, if my computer was able to run it at this moment, I would probably still be playing it. I'm going to come back to it. I love that we have friends who are sticking to it too. I want to try. There's a whole card game they introduced into the game, and like there's daily stuff you can do, like your daily dungeon, your daily PvP, and your daily card game. So there's like a huge XP incentive to it as well.
You're an ice cream truck at your place?
My phone, my alarm is going off. I'm like,
Jamie's 3:15 p.m. alarm is going off just in case he has shit to do.
Gotta get my day started, you know?
Yeah. Like the sun's halfway down. I liked a lot of this.
I've had this phone or that alarm on my phone for like a month. And I haven't needed it, and I always just silence it at 3 p.m. and don't remove it.
Oh my God.
So here we are.
What a life you live, my friend.
This is the first time it's interrupted anything. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Anyways, ESO, super fun. Quests are good. If you don't like MMOs, I get it. You listen to this, so you don't have to play it.
I don't like MMOs, but I enjoy the time I spent with it, so.
Listening to this, I'm like, I want to like it, but I know I would pick it up and I'd be like, bleh.
Having a lot of time to play is a big thing too, because there is a million and one things to do, and it can be if you feel like you're never gonna really dive in or whatever, it could be like, well, why should I even like put the 1 hour in if I'm not gonna put the 800 hours?
I would be trying to blitz the main quest, and I would be worried that there'd be too much like, go here and get this before I can tell you the next thing you like in the story that you need to know, you know?
That's been it. We got a huge amount of people join after the last time Discord shout out. So I'm going to shout it out first this time. Come join the Discord. There's games, things to gaming nights. People are chatting, pet picks, food picks, sharing music, sharing art that we do, sharing each other's streams, talking about sports even.
Through the whole list of
self-promo, out-of-context quotes. Here, I'll read the last out-of-context quote. I hate it when fluids bust from sheets. Jamie. Before that, World War II was just a drop in the bucket, says Pete. Eat shit, Betty White, says Ethan.
I remember saying that.
Yeah, I don't remember saying any of that.
I did hit him with the praying emoji, but I do not remember saying that.
He should kill himself, Jamie. I might have said that again today. This about Varen, actually, because he should kill himself. But there's a lot of fun stuff going on in there, so get in through the Discord and join the fun.
Yeah, Pete, what's going on with Instagram, my guy?
At Lore Wars Podcast on Instagram. Send me memes if you want. Like our pictures, please. We're doing really well. We're very close to 1,000 followers, which is excellent. Otherwise, no Montreal Comic Con this year is the only real announcement for me. Yeah, we've got two guys need to be away, meaning the remaining dude who's going to be still in the country can't run the whole thing by himself. So
relieved. I didn't want to go.
Well, you don't have to go. Yeah.
Last year it was like fun. The after part was way more fun than the sitting in a booth for it. Basically, like a nerd shopping center. It's not a cool, like, I thought there'd be more shows and stuff. You know,
it's neat. I mean, we're further from the pandemic now, of course. It might be different this year. But yeah, no, just due to circumstance, it's I'm not going to be there, meaning Loreboys will not be there. So if for some reason you wanted to come to Montreal on the weekend of July 14th, I'm not going to see you.
Maybe we'll do a BoysCon.
Try and track me down. I dare you.
We'll do a BoysCon anyway. We don't have to go to Comic-Con to do a BoysCon. Yeah,
we should just do a mailbag if we're going to get together.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you guys like the show, you can leave us a good review. Tell your friends how we grow the show. We don't advertise anywhere, so it's the only way we grow, and the only way we have grown is all thanks to y'all. So thanks so much. Big hearts for y'all. If you want to support the show financially, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, where you can get access to the loser titles game that we play. You can get access to the episode art. You can sometimes get access to the scripts when I remember to upload them. I have a whole batch that I'm meaning to upload.
Do you have a one example of a loser title that we've written down today?
Yeah, I got one from the bonus content, which is Pete's past his Puda phase. And if you can hear that ahead of the episode release and announcement, and know that we were talking about the Elder Scrolls, specifically about Molag Bal and Manimarco, then
well, you must be blind and looking at a moth scroll.
Then you get the huge bonus points. It's all, there's no prizes. We play for nothing. Some is it Mr. Avocado or Johto that's keeping track of the scores these days?
Yeah, it's neither them and somebody else by the community. So
thanks to whoever is actually running the scores, but. I think it's Mr. Avocado Man, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think people really, really enjoy it, and we enjoy writing them down and talking about them after the show. So it's patreon.com/loreboys if you want to get into that. Now, if you don't trust Patreon and you do want to support the show, we of course it's been a bit of a schism, obviously. Thomas, who was the head of the Loreboys for a long, long time, is no longer working at Loreboys Inc. Obviously, so well, he's gone crazy. Of course, he did make some promises to some people that he probably shouldn't have. So now, me, Jamie, and Pete are a little split on how to run with the show. Obviously, so we're kind of forming our own alliances on the side, and we are looking for people to kind of back us up. So. Join under our banners.
Please.
I'll be mine's yellow. It's the Piss Boys banner. I'm hoping to transition the show to more interesting alchemical research, things like that. Experimenting a lot with turning piss into gold by pissing on mercury and things of that nature. So I think it's the future, honestly, and I think we can make some serious money.
I've been watching the news, and honestly, I think these anchors really are not such a bad thing.
The news anchors?
Yeah, the news anchor. Yeah, not such a bad thing. You know, it's all about inclusion, and I really think we should be including Daedric princes in our day-to-day lives.
I see. I'd rally under the banner that we've deified Fastidious Greg, another ex-employee of the Loreboys. Oh,
yeah,
of course. So it's all to the worship of Fastidious Greg.
Oh, wow. Your platform's really elevated him, and that's why I just cannot agree. I've never seen him piss on a pile of mercury, so.
He was fastidious.
He got so mad with all the mercury I would leave out that he had to clean up. that's a real deep cut to some very early, very crunchy episodes for us. Yeah. So, I think that would constitute a Loreboys.
Loreboys.
Loreboys. All right. Oh my god. Someone make a note. I'm going to take out this whole little part. I'm struggling.
Jesus Christ, dude.
It's my thing fell off.
Yeah, very much I can't hold all these limes moment. I'm just like, oh no.
Yeah, my mouse is not plugged in, and then it did become a problem because I couldn't look at my script properly. Okay, here we go.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.